Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Tuesday, the 7th of February at 10 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Sorry, that's a little later than I usually broadcast. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. And first off, among stock markets in Asia, we had mostly some moderate declines, and these included for China, the China region, Japan, also Australia. Several of the ASEAN stock markets, however, were a little bit higher in here today. European stock markets were showing a weaker tone for much of the day, but then turned that around and rallied, and they've closed with some quite good reversals here. The gains are modest, but we had some reasonably large declines earlier in the day. In the Americas, excuse me, a similar thing happened. Wall Street had been lower, but then pegged back those losses to close with modest gains of around 0.25%. Brazil, likewise, had been lower, but then closed 1% higher. It's been a storming performance by Brazil. Well, it's been a storming performance by most stock markets, hasn't it? Long-dated government bond prices, they wilted as the rallies picked up. The U.S. 30-year long bond futures price is down over a full point. And the U.S. dollar, which had been a little steadier when markets were weaker early in the day, turned tail and fell quite sharply. So from a high at 79.265 on the US dollar index, it's now trading at 78.512. That's not far off the low of the day. And that pushed the euro up to 132.58. It triggered a stop on my euro short position, which I opened too soon in anticipation of a correction in markets generally. And it also pushed the Australian dollar up to 108. And let's see, sterling 158.95 as I speak. And better gains still from the Asian currencies. Philippine peso has been one of the big movers here recently. It's very interesting that. Now, gold, also a dramatic turnaround. Gold started the day with its third consecutive decline. Not a big decline, but it was down $6 or $7, and then it reversed that around and closed, well, it's trading still after hours, but with a $25 gain at $17.45, and other precious metals performed similarly. Also, the industrial metals turned around early losses, mostly closing with gains. And copper is still in the pole position since its lows last year and is at 387 cents in the U.S. market. Grains and beans were slightly easier. Oil prices are strong. We've got the WTI is quiet actually, but well, it's up nearly $2 today, but it has been quiet overall, 98.74. The big development in crude oil, though, is what we've seen for the Brent contract, and that's up to 116.14. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock market activity, it's been a fantastic run, as you know. Big gains so far this year, and more importantly, the gains from the lows for most indices, certainly all the important indices, save China, which have been seen since we saw that climactic sell-off in August and September. And then some of those indices also hit their actual lows last year in early October. But the US indices, they're all up over 20%, or the major ones are at any rate. And most people would regard that as a statistical bull market. It certainly is in line with the cyclical bull market that Fuller Money has been talking about, but we don't hear many people mentioning a bull market, do we? And a lot of them are still very frightened. You remember how bearish sentiment was at year end, but this is the genuine article here. There's nothing wrong technically with any of the action that we have seen for stock markets, and we've seen it broaden out because the big cap higher yielding shares were dominating the earlier performance, along with the what it has become the sort of perennial strong point, McDonald's. Well, that has a decent yield, but then Apple, surging Apple. But we've also seen small cap shares pick up a lot, and emerging market indices so far this year have shown some of the best gains. I should really say growth. The indices for the growth economies have shown many of the best gains. But the Nasdaq's been a star, as you know. That's up above its 2011 highs. So the only concern, well, there are a couple of concerns. There's a minor concern, a short-term overbought condition. And I mentioned this now for a while that we're due for a reaction and consolidation. And in my copy yesterday, and also in the audio, I said that what I didn't know was whether we would see the more traditional type of reaction and consolidation, which occurred rotationally, in other words, not for all markets simultaneously, and that would be preferable. I think it's preys less on investors' nerves. But since the advent of high frequency trading, and my goodness, we've got an interesting GIF on that in tonight's comment that you'll want to see. And just showing how the influence has increased on a daily basis since 2007. But what we've seen a little bit too much of, in my opinion, is this incredibly high degree of correlation. So it's either all risk on, to use that banal term, or all risk off. So, if high frequency trading is still in control here, then that would be a real possibility. But so far, we've just seen these small pauses and a few days of trading range, and then some additional gains in here. Now, as that progresses, it will set markets up for the inevitable bigger reaction and consolidation. But I don't want to overemphasize that. Because what sort of a correction are we likely to see? I think it would certainly be under 10% for the S&P, for instance, and it would be a buying opportunity. Maybe we get closer or more than 10% on some of the higher beta growth markets, in some of the higher beta growth in markets, but that would be a buying opportunity, and I'm reasonably confident that a downside reaction would occur within the new upward trends that have started since the lows that we were seeing around September and in the beginning of October of last year. So this is still a very favorable environment, and behaviorally, while it's no longer credible for people to be extremely bearish, how many of, again, I'll repeat the point, because I think it's an important one, how many people are talking about a bull market? Very few. But if it acts like a bull, walks, talks, and looks like a bull, then it is a bull, and this one most certainly is, in my opinion. Now, how long will it last? Well, let's say conservatively here for the medium term, I do have a concern, and that is the price of crude oil, which is a potential negative game changer. And if we see, well, let's take that Brent, which is the more important price, because the WTI is a lot lower because the U.S. produces such a large proportion now of the oil that it actually requires. Now, speculative activity in the markets can certainly push that up, as we saw today, but it's still going to be cheaper than the Brent, which is a better guide to what's going on globally in terms of oil prices. And that's still in backwardation, whereas the WTI is in contango. And if we were to see, for political reasons, I think it would almost certainly be political reasons, if we were to see supply fears push that oil price higher, sharply higher, that would certainly rein in stock markets. And it would rein in economic growth. Now, that's a uncomfortably high risk, but if we avoid that risk, then this could be a stomping year in terms of overall stock market performance. And it's already started out that way, but I think we would see it continue. But either way, we're certainly going to get a little bit of volatility in here, so one must be prepared for that, but I think anything to the downside that's caused by gravity or any other factor other than a spike in the price of Brent crude will create a buying opportunity. What about the long-dated government bond prices? Well, there's a chance that QE and remaining fears will keep yields low for a while longer, but we know they're artificially low. And I don't expect the Western economies to be sloughing along at these negligible growth levels indefinitely, particularly the US, which may well surprise to the upside over the next year or two. Expectations are still quite low. And one wants to be cautious. I'm not expecting any huge improvement overall, but again, cheaper energy prices in the U.S. relative to many other democracies in the world is causing some U.S. companies to redevelop, retool, expand domestically. Dow Chemical is an important example. And you're also getting Indian software companies looking at the U.S. opening up. So they could be attracted to the U.S. economy. It's something that we haven't seen that much of for a number of years overall. My general view is is that people are still a bit too pessimistic in terms of the U.S. economy. The changes in unemployment will be very gradual. But they are changing, and one of the big factors here has been this booming oil and gas industry. So again, I would not be too pessimistic overall. Still a tough overall economic environment, but it is improving, and it's the trend that counts. And I think that's pretty much it. I don't want to run on too long. Interesting day. All the best to all of you.